And a good morning to you.
Morning.
It's always amazing, it's awesome to be with you, and I just treasure each and every time. Now, I couldn't help but to reflect an exchange with the rector there and his nieces, and it brings some memories of a time when I was teaching first grade, and we had a parent conference, and Mommy came in to me and said, Mr. Mollison, I have some news for you. I says, oh? Yeah, my husband and I are expecting another child. I said, that's not news. I've known about it for 3 weeks. You know, I think every first grade teacher can write an awesome book about their experiences with the children of that age level. So it was fun to see. I don't know about the parents, but... The Feast of All Saints is upon us once again. And this past week, Wednesday, being All Saints' Day. This is the time when we celebrate our communion, our relationship with the saints, both capital S and small s. All Saints' Day was once one of the most loved feasts in the church year. At least it was for the Orthodox, the Romans, and the Anglicans. And there's a time traditionally set aside to celebrate the lives of all saints. When we hear the word saint, what comes to mind? Is it someone whose cup runneth over with milk of human kindness? Is it someone who has a PhD in spiritual development? Is it someone who has given his or her energies to a life of contemplation in a religious order? Is it a missionary in a place of great danger or terrible suffering? Is it someone who has worked a miracle or two and has had it verified? Is it someone who has mastered the art of turning the other cheek? Or is it someone who has dedicated his or her life to the service of others? To see the word saint with a capital S, you may think of one or more of the apostolic groups, such as Peter, Paul, and Mary, and no, I'm not thinking of the 70s group, okay? Or you may think of one of the early martyrs or doctors of the church, such as Augustine. And many of us have come out of the Roman Catholic tradition. Saints to us, therefore, might refer to the many names that have passed the test of the cardinals and canonization by papal authority. No matter what your concept of what a saint is, the association of the word saint conveys a sense of differentness. Differentness from the rank and file in the terms of holiness and goodness. They have set an example of otherness that merits honor and remembrance. But such is not always the case. The saints we salute and recognize today are a little more clay-footed, a little more down-to-earth than what we have described above. They are not people who have their own days set aside in liturgical calendars. They have not been singled out for startling visions or for leading history-altering crusades. They have not moved the mountains with their faith or changed millions of lives by what they have written or said. They have not climbed the loftiest rungs on a stairway to heaven, but nevertheless are saints of God. As in the great hymn that I truly love and enjoy singing, I've been singing ever since, okay, knee high. I sing a song of the saints of God. Number 293 in your hymnals, I hope you have it home. I do invite you to go home and take a good look at the text there. It's awesome. From that great hymn, we recall today the ones who simply loved their Lord, as revealed in the generosity of their lives. As hymn 293 says, working as a shepherd, a doctor, a soldier, a priest. Recalled are the ones who toiled in the mundaneness of their lives, in the small but significant change of their faith, in their gratefulness to Jesus. We know what is meant by an IQ, right? Intelligent quotient. Do we recall as saints only those who have an SSQ, a supreme spiritual quotient? Not really. Did they have a special revelation to set them apart? Not especially. Did they reach a level of enlightenment beyond normal human parameters? Not really. So then, what makes a saint? First of all, the making of a saint requires the love of God. Requires a membership in the body of Christ. And requires what all of us, living and dead, remembered and forgotten, great souls and small, have in common: our baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's epistle to the Philippians 4:21, Paul directs members of the church, to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. I believe we may correctly assume this directive applies to all believers and not just persons of exceptional belief or characterized by exceptional acts of kindness. And this same thought is also found in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians and also in the letter of Jude. So I may be pushing a point here, but let me just share that All Saints' Day may be likened to a family reunion party. A clan made kinfolk by our baptism. There are heroes and scoundrels at the party. Beloved aunts and estranged cousins. Relatives we adore and those who just plainly baffle us. They are all ours. On All Saints' Day, we remember those saints of times past: Matthew, Thomas, Barnabas, the Virgin Mary. We remember Mother Teresa, Ignatius, Pius, Columba. We also remember the saints from this faith community whom we see no more, specifically since All Saints' Day last year. We remember Philip DiCarlo, Stephen Etienne, Dorothy Willard, Shirley Covella, Jean Lipinoga, Richard Catlin, Mary Ann Foss, Nancy Gravelli, Susan Passano, Mildred Wacker, Joan Faust, Barbara Bertini, Joanne Buchkowski, Thelma Furr, Joseph Lasik, Howard Kuhn Jr., George Gillum, Jenny Davenport, Vera Osberg, and most recently, Benjamin Hennenberger. May their souls and the souls of all the faithfully departed through the mercies of Christ rest in peace and light perpetual shine upon them. Amen. On All Saints' Day, all of them belong to us and we to them. And as their ranks swell, so do the possibilities that open up in our own lives. From the Sermon on the Mount, specifically from the Beatitudes heard read by Deacon Bush as our gospel passage for this morning, we learn that the spiritually happiest and most faithful Christians are those whose outflow of love and blessings is spontaneous and in proportion with their intake of the same, whose giving in substance and service is proportionate to their receiving of the same. Such saints are channels of blessing. For having received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, out of them flow rivers of living water of love. Every blessing received makes a new opportunity to pass a blessing on. Increased ability calls for increased service. As riches increase, the opportunity to help spread the gospel increases. As personal contacts with people multiply and become more intimate, the opportunities to influence them in right direction, to help them improve their lives, and above all, to point them to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, also multiply. The hymn, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God," states that we, you and me, can be saints of God. Verse 3 of this hymn states, they, the saints, lived not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school, or in lanes, or at sea, in church, or in trains, or at shops, or at tea, / Tim Hortons. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. You know, we know anything of little cost is of little value. To be a saint of God, we are to throw off our human nature and put on the nature of Christ. We are made in the image of God, and therefore we are to be Christ-like. It has been said that the Beatitudes describe the true nature of Christ. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus, the Christ, shares with us what it takes to be like him. Through prayer, through a study of God's word, through the sacraments, and with Holy Spirit-driven commitment, we too are able to become saints of God. That is, if you mean to be one, truly mean to be one. Now to God, his forever Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.